Well, if you were here last week, you would have noticed that we welcomed you to the revolution and trust that this is the term that revolution becomes real. We saw that a revolution is an overthrow or a replacement of an established system. So we've decided that we are going to take over in Nkandla, but we're not going to do it now. We're going to do it by the end of the term. So we've got 7 more weeks to prepare for the takeover. And then we're going to move his youth in. That's going to be called his youth. You up for that? So it'll be overthrow, because we're going to have to obviously overthrow it. I don't think our president is just going to allow us to walk in and run his youth from there. So there's going to be an overthrow. It is an established system that we want to undermine and create our own system there. And it's going to be sudden, it's going to be radical, and there's going to be complete change. Like that swimming pool area, we're going to use that. And the chicken run thing, we're going to change that into something else. So you up for this? So that happens at the end. Now, in order to do that, we learned that you have to be revolutionary, which is a fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing something. So up until now, when we think of his youth, we think about Friday night and school and Sunday. But from next term, it's going to be Northern KwaZulu-Natal. And so we're going to have to change our mindset. You up for this? Okay, you missed this last week. You didn't realize you all signed up for this. Like, yes, I should put it out on Facebook in the week to remind you about it. So actually, this week, as we get a bit more serious, we're going to look at some amazing revolutions that has taken place around the world throughout history. Are you up for this? And it's going to feel a bit like history, but hopefully you're going to be involved in creating something really wow. I want to begin with something known as 10 protests that changed the world. And here is a video. People changed the world by acting together. I don't know if you've ever heard of the color revolutions. Anyone heard that phrase before, color revolutions? I had kind of not before this week. I mean, there's a bit of a hint, orange revolution. We're not talking about the new colors available for hair, nails, and makeup, okay? Even though that's really important to some of us. We're not talking about high-definition television in 60 million colors. We're not talking about those great desktops that you get with those great high colors. We're not even talking about our very own Rainbow Nation. We're talking about revolutions that took place across Europe, in Russia, in North Africa, in the 2000s. For example, there was what's known as the Purple Revolution. Now, those of us who've had the privilege of voting know that you get your fingers marked with some sort of ink so that you don't go vote again. And in Iraq, their revolution was known as the Purple Revolution, with Saddam Hussein being kind of taken out of power. There was a Yellow Revolution. The leader of our church movement, Steve Morrell, who's based in the Philippines, where this is a picture of, when he landed 20-odd years ago in the Philippines as a missionary, one of his first things was like, ha, duck, you know, don't go out the place where the church was meeting, because revolutions hit the street to protest against the president, who was somewhat corrupt. And they put yellow ribbons everywhere and gave the police yellow carnations. So here's what we want you to do today. We want to visit some of these color revolutions. And we're going to look at 6 different colored revolutions, excluding those first two that I've just mentioned. What you will do in your group is you'd figure out, okay, where did it take place? What country? Why was it necessary? What did the people do? What were the results? And finally, what can we learn from it as we are revolutionaries? Because don't forget, on the 29th of March, we're taking over in Nkandla, in Northern Natal. So don't forget that this is not just theoretical. We want to learn from those revolutions so we don't make mistakes. You fine with that? Vicky's looking a bit dazed and is like, but I'm just out of matric. Some of you are matric. I'm like, it's fine. It'll all fit in with matric and university, Matiam. Don't worry. You can still do University of Pretoria. It's a weekend we're going to take over. And then we'll move there is a university there as well, University of the Northern Natal. So everything's sorted, right? So we're going to have 6 different groups. You've got a wiki page with some notes on that I've edited down a little bit to make it manageable. You will report back about those items. Okay? You ready for the color revolutions? Cool. Here we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the color revolutions. We're going to start with the best color in the world, blue, because it's alphabetical. So let's have a delegate, unless they're all going to protest on stage, but if someone could come up and share with us. Right, so it's where did it take place? Why was it necessary? What did the people do? What were the results? And what can we learn from it when we tackle Inkandla in our march in March? It's going to be a march in March on the 29th.
So the Blue Revolution happened in Kuwait, and the whole situation there was that women weren't allowed to vote. Okay, and that's a big problem, as you all know, and because we believe in equality. So these women and men came together and they said, we're going to protest against what is going on here, and we're going to protest for the right for equality for women and that they can vote as well. And interesting that it was a peaceful protest. They didn't have riots in the streets or gather together a rebel army like in the Hunger Games and fight people or whatever. But they peacefully protested and marched and said, we have the right to vote. Give us that right. And they used the color blue to band together. You see, they would use blue posters, and eventually the women all started wearing blue, and they would wear that blue to signify that we are standing together for the right to vote. And eventually it happened that there was a majority vote in the Kuwaiti government that they said, yes, women can vote. So that is awesome.
Okay, the denim revolution. Are you wearing yes, you're wearing denim.
So the way it happened was Belarus or whatever. They wanted democracy. They went against the government's policies. They were not successful. Sometimes you don't always succeed, even if you have the best intentions at heart.
Awesome. Right, the Green Revolution.
Okay, our revolution happened in Iran, and the Green Revolution was also called the Twitter Revolution because they also did the things on Twitter, right? So they did this revolution to avoid corruption and rigging in the government, because presidents there, they rigged in the votes and eventually won, which was cheating. And the president that the people wanted was color green, so they all decided to wear green shirts and become all green, right? And as a result, people got beaten, they were sent to jail, and people got killed, right? And then the government still remained the same, nothing changed. So what we learned is that you should never give up on your goal. You should stay determined, even if things turn out wrong, that there's power in a crowd, and you should be grateful for what you have.
Right, the Orange Revolution.
Okay, so the Orange Revolution was in Ukraine, it was in Ukraine, and the reasons were it was corruption and fraud and, what does that say? So basically the election was rigged, and people were like, I don't want this, and no. And then what they did, there was civil disobedience, they had sit-ins and general strikes, So the names of the two people, they're both Viktor, and then one of them is Viktor Yushchenko and Viktor So there's another Viktor, and the other Viktor won the first election, which was rigged, and blah, 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 and they redid the votes, and the first guy won, and everything was great. And then 4 years later, the other victor was the so the gosh, okay, so the bad one was elected as a successor, and 4 years later 100 people died because there were protests and people didn't like the bad victor. And then, so yeah, what was learned is that because the bad victor undermined the people's rights and respect and blah, blah, blah. And so when you undermine people, they're going to rise up against you, and you need a new insight and things, which the first good guy gave. And yeah, don't undermine people, then they'll kill you. So yes, yay.
Very good. The Saffron Revolution. To Google what color saffron is, but I'm sure it'll become clear in a few seconds.
Okay, so our revolution took place in Burma, also known as Myanmar, and the reason that it was called the Saffron Revolution is because you can also see in the picture, the people who led it were monks, and their robes are saffron, so yeah.
Okay, and the reason why the revolution happened is, the revolution itself was political and economic protests, because the government owned the fuel, so the government provided the fuel, and the prices and fuel dramatically rose. I mean, the bus fuel rose 500% in a week, which is an awful lot. And then people revolted. They would not stand for this.
So they did this by civil disobedience. They were really peaceful. They didn't want any harm to come to them. But a result of what happened is that many monks were arrested and killed, and thousands of people were killed as well. So.
And I think ultimately the revolution was unsuccessful because the government was able to clamp down on this revolution. They literally blocked all internet from the country. You weren't allowed to own foreign money. You weren't allowed to have any contact with the outside world. And what we can learn from this is that even if your revolution fails, it still can have a really strong impact on revolutions around the world. Can still show people, stand up for what you believe in. And even if it doesn't work, you made your point clear.
I'm quite sure we're going to be successful to take over in Kandla. But even if it doesn't, I think I've learned from that group that it can still inspire other youth groups to take over places of interest and national interest. So let's have the White Revolution. It's known by different names, but this is certainly one of the names that was used for it.
This took place in Cairo and Alexandria and other cities, but this is all in Egypt. And they were focused on legal and political issues, including police brutality, state of emergency laws, lack of freedom elections, and lack of freedom in general. There was riots groups and then there were also watch groups which watched the riots, and then a new government was formed in the end, and we learned that you should fight for your freedom and fight for change and also stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah, we're going to do that, right? So what have we learned today? I want to suggest that this might pull together some of the themes, but I want to focus on the word change, that change is possible. I really like this. Aubrey Hepburn had to be an actress who said something like, nothing is impossible. The word itself says impossible. A little cheesy, but nothing is impossible. Things seem impossible, but when you stand up and do something, how many of you have ever said to yourself, this is impossible? You're like, maybe it's an exam, or it's like math, or like, where's MG, like the maths whiz, when I'm trying to deal with some maths problem? And then you do it and you're like, hey, I did it, you know? Getting into university in Pretoria, you know, Matiam, how do you do that? That's huge. And catching the car train every day and like suddenly you're there and it's like, wow, you know, impossible is nothing. Even the word itself says impossible. You have to learn something from those revolutions, that change is costly. In none of those revolutions was it just like, the government's deciding just to step down because two people put up posters, you know? You will begin to succeed when you begin to realize that your goal is worth the sacrifice. There is sacrifice. You know, like when we march on Inkanda, we might wear out our tackies, our best tackies, And we might have to maybe buy new tackies the next week. And I'm like, those were my best tackies, Mark. Why did we have to march from Joburg to KwaZulu-Natal? Couldn't we take the bus? No, then people won't see us. You know what I mean? Like, so we're marching there. It's a long walk to freedom. Change is costly. It will cost. Any change costs. Anything worth doing is going to cost, okay? Change is possible. Change is costly. And change takes courage. It's easy to stand with the crowd. It takes courage to stand alone. It probably even takes courage to stand and get out to join part of the crowd that's marching. Some of those numbers were staggering at the number of people that marched. But even then, there were probably people that didn't go. Like, I think one or two of you on the 29th of March are going to be tempted to not march to Nkandla. One or two of you. I'm looking around to see maybe who it will be. Because one or two of you are like, geez, Mark, that's a long way, and I got an exam on Monday. One or two of you might. You know what I mean? But the rest of it, we're going. You know what I mean? We're doing this thing, and it takes courage. It's like, what if there's dogs at the gate? What are we going to take steak with? And we're going to feed it to the dogs. We might even chop each other up and feed each other to the dogs. Change is costly. You don't mind being the one chopped up, Asha, if we need to get in there and distract the dogs. Asha will be the first one to say, chop me up. I don't mind if you chop me up. I'm hoping more of you, Teboho. Okay, I won't choose him. But yeah, I know Vicky will give her legs. Just we'll take legs from one person and an arm from another. We won't take arms and legs from the same person. But it will cost. Any time there's change, it costs. And Joshua 1, verse 9, when the Israelites had something really scary to do, to march on Nkandla themselves, God said, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened of the dogs. Do not be dismayed that there may be guards at the gate. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's going to be with you. Yeah, you might get blisters when we walk, but God will be with you. You know what I mean? Whatever God calls you to do, even if it involves challenge and difficulties and we need courage, God has promised to be with us. I don't know how many of you watch Survivor regularly, but this season at the moment is called Survivor Babylon. Are any of you watching Survivor Babylon? It's a really awesome season, and there's three people I think that might win: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are like, they're not North American. They're actually from the islands of the Seychelles, and because it's Survivor Babylon, and Seychelles is the capital of Babylon. So what we're going to do, some folk are going to come up and read the story. I think it's a brilliant example, and I asked last week about the story, and no one knew what the heck I was talking about. All of you know that we march into Nkandla, but no one knew the Daniel 3 story. So I think Sean is kicking us off, and we're going to read this chapter. There's some images that are going to flash up along the way, and this should inspire you for the march on the 29th of March. Don't get the date wrong, and bring spare tackies.
Okay, cool. So it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Guys, it is a pretty big statue. I mean, I think the picture, it wasn't like a little Buddha that you have like on your door or something like that. It was like a big statue, okay? And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, so everybody could see the statue. It was this massive thing, and this guy was pretty arrogant, if I could say that. And he summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace."
Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and other kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Meshach and Abednego, who pay no attention to you or your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship your image of gold you have set up."
Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, if you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all those kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not defend ourselves before this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we do not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up."
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot that the flame of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "When they three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of God." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and no small fire on them.
Very good.
Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of every nation or language who say anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
I wonder if you and I were one of these young guys, whether we would have stood when every other person in the kingdom bowed down. Like, be thrown into fire, that's not something I really enjoy doing. Suntanning, that's cool. Day on the beach, that's fun. But thrown into a furnace, and the furnace is actually on the side. It's not like maybe some of you are going to be like fed to the dogs. It's like the furnace is ready. Now's the signal, like, bow down. These guys are in a society where, judging on what Sean said, this monstrosity, this vanity in front of everyone, that couldn't be tolerated. No king should do that. You know? Yes, honor someone. Other people can honor you and say great things about you. But the moment you take it to that level, you know that there's going to be pride before fall. And they decided that they could not do this and would not do it. And in the end, they lead to radical change in the whole kingdom. That king acknowledges God in the end because those three young guys stood up and said, no, we are not going to do what you say. They didn't know that they would come out of there without their clothes smelling of smoke. Because you know there's nothing worse than when you've been at a bra and you've got smoke on your clothes. It's like worse than dying. You know what I mean? Like rather die. Because you don't want your clothes smelling of smoke, right? It's like terrible. You got to wash it in Omo. And it's like, oh man, now my favorite shirt's in the wash. Won't get it out in tomorrow. And what if it rains tonight? And then it's like, it doesn't dry in time for my school outing. And it's like sucks. They were willing to endure a clothing malfunction for the sake of bringing change in the kingdom of God. I don't know. Would you have? I think some of us might have just like, you know, God, it doesn't really matter if just this once, I'm going to be really, from next week, I'm starting. You know, friend zone God for one night is not the worst thing. I'll take him out. I'll personally escort him out the friend zone tomorrow morning, and we'll be back tight together again. These guys said, like, no, we're not going to do it. Some people wonder where Daniel is, but he was on king's business, it seems, maybe out of town or busy with something. There's no ways Daniel would have bowed down himself. I want to pray that God would use us to bring change and that we would be willing to pay the price, that we would have the courage that's necessary, but mostly that we will believe that change is possible. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the challenge that you brought us today from these color revolutions that took place in the 2000s. Incredible change, Lord, right across the globe. And we didn't even speak about the bulldozer revolution that took place, Lord God, in people bringing change in their country. There were many more, the jasmine revolutions in both China and Tunisia. Lord, so many more that we didn't have time to look at today where people rose up. And in some of those places, the revolution still continues. Some, it's so oppressive that people have been forced underground. But we pray, Lord God, that as we saw this example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that, Lord God, we would be inspired, that you would help us to rise up and bring change in our own lives, where we change to make something conform more to the image of Jesus. If our home situation's not great, if our future, if there's a lid on our future and our family, where no one has been to university and we're not thinking that we can go either, or we can't study further and get that job that would provide a new future for generations to come, we pray that we would remember these stories today and say that no matter what the circumstances, that nothing is impossible. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would use us to bring change in our world and in this world that we live in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, we didn't look too much at individuals today. Next week, Hannes, who was leading worship, I can say that because he led out in that one song, that guitarist in the back. He'll be sharing next Sunday morning on some amazing revolutionaries and what we can learn from their lives. And I'm quite sure you're going to participate as well. So come expectant to participate next Sunday. God bless you. Have a fabulous week. And don't forget, 29th of March, we're marching to Nkandla.